in many siddurim after the initial brachas of waking up in the morning and coming to shul. So there's the piyut, there's the poem of Adon Olam. Many shuls say it at the beginning of davening, many shuls say it at the end of davening on Shabbos. Let's discuss the source of the poem of Adon Olam, why we say it, where we say it, and we'll go through the lines and hopefully be able to glean some important messages about our relationship with Hashem. The first question is, who wrote Adon Olam? Who's the author of this poem? Now, there's an important book of Minhagim written in the end of the 1800s called the Likutei Ma'ariach. Likutei Ma'ariach is a very, very fundamental work of Minhag and sources of Minhag. And the author writes there that the Sefer HaTechiah, an unknown book called the Sefer HaTechiah, quotes that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the great Tana, is the author of Adon Olam. Now, if you look in the new editions of the Likutei Ma'ariach, for some reason, this line was removed. So when I saw that a line was removed, that automatically sparks an interest as to why. So I called the editor, Rabbi Martin, who is the editor of the new edition of the Likutei Ma'ariach, and he told me that in the edited edition, he actually has a handwritten manuscript of the original author's work, the Likutei Ma'ariach. The author removed this line, citing Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai as the author of Adon Olam. Now, he doesn't know why the author did this and why it was removed. And Rabbi Martin told me that he forgot to note this emendation in the footnotes. And that's why, in his newest edition, so it doesn't say that this line was removed. He told me that in a future edition, I guess if somebody wants to pay for the next edition, so then he'll note that this line was taken out. So it's unclear. It's hard to imagine that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is the author with such a tenuous source. Let's move on to the next source. The next source is the Mata Moshe. The Mata Moshe, Rav Moshe Meth, the Talmud of the Maharshal. So he writes in the Chelek Aleph and Siman Lamed Aleph that Adon Olam is Shir Na'a Uma'ula. It's an incredibly exalted and beautiful song. And he records in the name of Rav Yehuda HaChassid, in the name of Rav Hai Gaon and Rav Shura Gaon, that whoever says Adon Olam will have his tefillos answered without question. And the satzel will not prosecute them, and his enemies will fall before him, and it's a very big deal to say Adon Olam. We see that Adon Olam existed in the days of the Gaonim. Apparently, we have such a tradition going back, and Rav Pinchas of Karetz writes in the Imre Pinchas that it was written, in fact, by Rav Hai Gaon. That's one approach from the period of the Gaonim. The next approach, in other Siddurim, it says that the poem was written by Shlomo ben Gabirol, the famous Spanish poet. The Siddur Ola Yaakov says that he doesn't think it's from Shlomo ibn Gabirol. However, Adon Olam is written in a balanced scale. What does that mean? If you'll notice, and you have to really be into poetry to notice this, if you'll notice, each line in Adon Olam has the same number of syllables. You can clap it out if you want. Each line of Adon Olam has the same number of syllables. You can try it after we're done. And therefore, it cannot be somebody else. Another popular Paitan, author of poetry, is Donash ben Labrat, the author of Doror Yikra that we sing on Shabbos, the Talmud of Rav Sajagon, because he was the first to introduce the balanced scale to Jewish poetry. So it needs to be somebody after Donash ben Labrat lived. So, again, is it Shlomo ibn Gabirol? Maybe it's somewhere probably around the year 1000, in that period, after Rav Sajagon, that Adon Olam was probably written. Okay. When do we say Adon Olam? In the old Siddurim, Adon Olam is recited on Leil Yom Kippur, after davening is over. Many, many shuls, most shuls, they sing Adon Olam on Leil Yom Kippur. At a certain point, it's not clear when, people began saying it before davening because of its importance. Why? In the Siddur Shar Rachamim, Sir of Menachem HaMagid, the Magid of Palachuk, who is a student of the Vilna Gaon, explains that we begin davening with Adon Olam based on a Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara and Brachos of Zayin Amud Beis says, Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Miyom Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu, from the day that Hashem created the world, Lo Haya Adam Shekaro La Kadosh Baruch Hu Adon, at Sheba Avraham. The first person to call Hashem Adon was Avram Avinu. As it says, Vayomer Adoni Elokim Bama Eida Ki Roshana. How do I know, my master, that my children will inherit all this goodness? Amarav Aftaniel Lo Nana El Bishvil Avram. Even Daniel was only answered because of Avram Avinu. Viata Shama Eloheinu Al Tfila Savadach Vial Tuchadonav Ver Panecha Mithashach Hashem, you should answer me, I'm Shemein Laman Adonai Laman Chami Boile. What do you mean in the merit of my master, Daniel is saying? It should be in your merit. El man Avram shekarach Adon. Hashem, says Daniel to Kadosh Baruch Hu, answer me in the merit of Avram who called you Adon. Okay, fine. So Avram Avinu is the first person to call Hashem Adon. When we say Adon alone, we are invoking Zuchus Avos, the merit of our forefathers, Avram Avinu, who was one who called Hakadosh Baruch Hu Adon. Avram Avinu was the one who established the recitation of Shachris, and therefore it is proper to begin the tefillah of Shachris to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the title of Adon. This is also in the Siddur Siach Yitzchak, in the Siddur Hagra. The Hakadama to the Tshuvas Kanfei Yonah records that when the Vilna Gaon saw this perish on the Siddur, he saw this idea as to why we say Adon Olam. He said that it would have been worth to print the entire Siddur, this perish with this Siddur, the whole Sefer, if only for this explanation alone. That's how beautiful this explanation is. The Brisker Rav also noted that the Vilna Gaon loved MS. The Vilna Gaon loved things that were true, and therefore he would get excited whether it was a big chiddush that was MS, or even a small idea like this that was MS. And therefore, this is MS, says the Gra, says the Brisker Rav. He feels this is the real pshat. We're beginning Shachris, the tefillah of Avram Avinu, and therefore we begin with the name of Adon, invoking this mid of Avram Avinu. Rav Pinchas of Karetz in the Imre Pinchas cites Rav Shlomo of Heisen, who explained that the tefillah is built on the foundation of Adon Olam, because the Shulchan Aruch says that before davening, you should mention Gadlus Habore and Shiflas Adon. We talk about how great Hashem is and how lowly we are compared to Hashem. And therefore, we begin with Adon Olam to meditate on Gadlus Habore. We begin talking about the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then we say, later on, we'll get to this hopefully in a few weeks, La'olam Ye Adam, Manu Machayenu, how lowly we are, what are we worth, we're nothing, to remind us of our lowliness. And therefore, the beginning of davening balances those two themes, our lowly status and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another explanation. It contains a fulfillment of the words of Rabbi Yezer HaGadol in the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, Kisha'atam mispalim du lifnei mi'adam omdim. Before you daven, you should recognize who you're standing in front of, and therefore, before we begin davening, we make a statement that we're davening in front of Adon Olam. A fourth explanation. We could also suggest that this fulfills the pasuk of Uvkumecha, of getting up in the morning, that we should mention Yichud Hashem when we get up in the morning. The reason we don't say Shema right away in the morning, why do we say Shema? Shema is a mitzvah from the Torah, it should be the first thing we do right away, is because we want it to be said with its brachos before Shemona Esrei, right? We want Shema should be connected to Shemona Esrei with all of its brachos. And we have to preface all of this with Birchas HaShachar and Pesukei Dezimra, and therefore perhaps, maybe, we lose out on the inyan of mentioning Yichud Hashem, Hashem's unity and oneness right away. And instead, we establish by saying Adon Olam right at the beginning, so we can fulfill the idea to declare Hashem's unity and oneness first thing in the morning. The last explanation is from the Tamim Minhagim, the classic work on Minhag. He cites the Apter Rav, who explained that Adon Olam is really a hakadama to reciting Shemos Hakadoshim, to recite Hashem's holy names in their different facets and fashions throughout Tefillah. It's a lesson what we're supposed to think about during davening. Watch this. He says the three major names of Hashem are expressed in Adon Olam. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Adon Olam Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. That is Hashem's Adnus, that He is the Master of the world. Where do we see Elokim in Adon Olam? B'li Reishis V'lo Ha'oz V'Hamishra. Right? That Hashem has mastery and power over the whole world. That's Elokim. And what about the Shem Havaya? Yud Hei Vavin Hei Hu Haya V'Hu Hoveh. He was, is, and He will be. So Adon Olam actually teaches us the meaning of the major names of Hashem. And once you remind ourselves that the proper meaning of Hashem's name, we can then begin to daven properly. There's a similar idea in the Imrei Pinchas and Elaf HaMagen as well. But again, these are all reasons to why we begin davening with Adon Olam. Now, what's with those shuls who say Adon Olam at the end of davening on Shabbos? So the Yosef Omeitz, another book of Minog, says that in some communities they would say it at the end of davening. The Mata Moshe explains that since it is said at the beginning of davening, it's repeated at the end. So there should be no kitrug. There should not be a prosecution from the Satad. Why? Because this is why we start the Torah again on the day when we finish it, on Simchas Torah. So that the Satan doesn't say that we simply finish the Torah and leave it alone, right? We don't say like, oh, we're done with davening. What do? We go back to the beginning. Rav Schechter brings in Nefesh HaRam, the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, a similar idea, that again, we show that how much we love it, we go back to the beginning again. Oh, we started davening the Adon Olam, we'll go back again, we'll end davening the Adon Olam to show that we be mechazik and we're going back again to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kutzker Rebbe said that we show that we're starting davening over again because there is no end to the praise that we can give HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who can possibly ever say, I've finished davening, right? You get off the phone with your friend in the morning, you're talking to somebody, so I just finished davening. You finished davening? You never finished davening. Davening's going on all the time. The Aleph HaMagen writes that when we say Adon Olam, at the end, we show we are beginning again to show it's as if we haven't davened at all. We've only scratched the surface. And therefore, we say, I'm never done davening. Again and again and again, halavai, that we should be davening all day. The Eliyahu Zuta says that the minhag is to say Adon Olam during Kriya Shema L'Amita, because Adon Olam concludes, B'yadu Afkid Ruchi, I hand over my neshama to Hashem. But regarding the tune that many people sing for Adon Olam, there's a big discussion whether it's proper to use it. There's a tshuva from Rav Nissen Alpert, the famed Talmud of Moshe Feinstein, in the Torah Journal Masorah, Chelek Vav. We're not going to get into it right now. The tune that we like to sing, it's commonly sung with Adon Olam, comes from questionable source. So there's a discussion about whether it's proper to sing the tune. But there's so many other tunes, like your boys' choir, whatever you want to fill in, there's always something you can sing for Adon Olam. Let's get now to the Perush. Let's understand exactly what we're saying line by line in Adon Olam. Okay? Let's begin with the opening phrase. What does it mean, Adon Olam, if we had to translate it? No? Any guesses? How do we translate Adon Olam?
Master of the world.
Master of the world, right? Because you're going to tell me the word Olam means world. And if you look in Art Scroll, they'll say something like Master of the Universe or some similar translations, you know, Lord of the Universe, Master of the World. That would seem to be the usual explanation. Now, could I translate it another way? Doesn't the word Olam mean something else? Olam also means forever, right? Olam can mean forever. Maybe Adon Olam means eternal master. Adon Olam, the master who will be there forever, right? Again, the whole poem, as we're about to see, talks about the eternity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that would make sense. There's an article by Professor Mark Shapiro that discusses this. He cites other siddurim. Not everybody here remembers the Birnbaum Siddur, but the Birnbaum Siddur translates it as, you know, the eternal God. The old Siddur by Rabbi DeSola Poole also translates as eternal God. However, in the Siddur Miduyak, which is a Siddur that is produced by Rav Meir Mazuz, one of the great Tunisian Rabbanim of Eretz Yisrael who lives in Bnei Brak. So he has many, many emendations and many, many comments on Diktuk. If you like Diktuk and the Siddur, so his Siddur is full of all different types of Diktuk issues. So in his Siddur, he's commenting on a different piyut that uses this expression. He explains, and he's trying to explain why in Adon Olam Asher Malach, the Aleph has a chataf patach instead of a kamatz. Okay? So he essentially says that a chataf patach means shell. So it's Adon, shell Olam. That's what it really means. Adon, the master of the world. Although Adon Olam is a post-Tanakh Tfila, obviously it's after Tanakh. If you look in Tanakh, the word Olam never means world, ever. You'll never ever find the word Olam in Tanakh meaning world. It always means ancient, eternal, something like that. In Tanakh, Olam always means for a very long time. It never means the world. However, Chazal always view the word olam as world. All the time, whenever they find the word olam, it means the world. So if that's the case, so it would make sense that this is a post-Chazal poem, it probably means world. Adon olam. But again, you can translate it either way, either eternal master, or potentially you could translate it as master of the world. Okay. The one of the lines is Asher Malach Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra, who is the king before everything was created. The Or HaMeir, which is a perush on the Torah and by Midbar, and he writes Adon Olam Asher Malach Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra. There's a concept of Ein Melach below Am, right? We're not exactly close to Rosh Hashanah, but we're getting closer to Rosh Hashanah, and we know that there's no king without a people. Ein Melach below Am. Hashem was always the Melech, even before creation. But there was a chisaron, so to speak, kaviyachal. There was a lacking in Hashem's malchus, Hashem's kingship, before there was creation. Because what was he the king over? There was nothing going on in the world. And therefore we say, le'eis nasa b'chefzlo kol azai melech shemo nikra. Yes, Hashem is a melech. Asher melech b'terem kol tzinevra. Yes, technically, Hashem was the melech before creation. But, leis nasa b'cheftzo kol azai melech shmo nikra. Only after the world was created, b'riyas ha'olam, can we really say melech shmo nikra. Is he really truly called king after we came into this world? Rav Yaakov Emden in his Siddur cites the Medrash in Bereishis Rabba that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bonei olamos u'machrivim. Hashem built worlds and he destroyed them. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the melech on the previous worlds that were created, and he's melech olam on our world as well. Meaning Hashem has always existed and was always the king. We then say, V'acharei kechlos hakol, levado yimlach nora. What does that mean? After everything is done, Hashem alone will be the king. In the Sefer Siach Tzvi, so they cite Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, the Rav of Yerushalayim, who explained that this is based on the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yeraf. The Gemara says that the Navi tells us, Ose Shalom Ubore Ra. Hashem makes Shalom, and he created Ra. Right? But what do we say in davening? Ose Shalom Ubore Es Hakol. Why? Because we want to use a Lishna Ma'alyo. We want to use a nice word. It's not nice to say Hashem created Ra, bad. So what do we say? Hashem created Kol. Hashem created everything. We see that kol is a word that can describe ra, right? If I want to say, talk about bad, I can use the word kol, because kol means everything that's going on in the world, that which is good and that which is bad. And therefore, what we mean when we say that bi'achakre kechlos ha-ra, that's really what we mean. And after there is no more ra, what does it mean? When is there will be no more ra? When Mashiach comes. In a time when there will be no more ra in the world to cause us to deviate from the Derech Hashem, then levado yimloch no ra. People will only want to follow Kadosh Baruch Hu at that time. He'll be alone. We'll only serve Hashem. We won't serve anything else. We'll have no other pulls in this world when there's no more Yitzhahara in the world. The Baal HaLeshem, Rav Yashav's grandfather, says, Kechlos HaKol means that all of the Gashmias and all of the physicality in the world will eventually be gone. The guf will become kulo nefesh ruach and neshama, totally spiritual. And at this point, levado yimloch nora. And then we'll only focus on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The description of nora is explained in the Siddur Berachayim as follows. The Rashi in Parshas Bechukosai says, v'shalachti besochachem, I will walk amongst you, b'tayel imachem b'gan Eden, will walk in Gan Eden, yachol lo tiru mimenu tamad lomar v'yisi lechem lokim. And but you'll see, even though I'll be close to you, in the end of days, says Hashem, there'll still be Yirah Shemayim. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Al ne'aratz beso kadoshim rabba. Even though Hashem is found amongst the holy people, nevertheless, v'nora al kol saviva, the entire world has Yira. And that's what it means, that at the end of the day, yilavado yimloch nora. Even though when Mashiach comes, everything will be happy and wonderful, and there will be rainbows and dancing and simcha and all types of great things. But at the end of the day, don't forget, levado yimloch nora. There'll still be Yirah Shemayim. We'll still have an awe of Hashem. We'll turn now to the last line we're going to discuss, and that is of Ahu Eli, v'chai Goali, V'tzur chavli b'yom sara, beis sara. Now, this is based on a pasuk in Devarim Parak Yud. The pasuk says, Hein l'Hashem elokecha shema hayam v'shmi ha'shamayim ha'aretz v'chol asher ba rak b'avosecha cheshek Hashem li'ava usam v'yivchar b'zaram achareihem b'chem kol amim kayom hazeh. What's the pasuk talking about? That Hashem is the melech who was, is, and will be. And he was miyachid shmo. He unified his name over us to be our God and our Redeemer. Now we say in Shemoneh Esrei that Hashem is gomel chasadim tovim v'konei hakol v'zocher chastei avos. Hashem gives us chesed. He created everything and he remembers the chesed of the avos. The Sefer HaMinhagos of the Rush of Lunel explains that even though everything belongs to Hashem, he does chesed with the entire world. Nevertheless, the most important thing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chastei avos, and that he's our personal goel. And that's what we mean over here. V'hu eili v'chai goeli. At the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is massive, and he's omniscient and omnipotent, and he's above us so we can never understand him, and he's totally beyond anything we'd ever comprehend. But you know what? V'hu eili v'chai goeli. But he's my God, and I have a personal relationship with him at the end of the day. Rav Schwab, in his Siddur, in his Perush on the Siddur, cites Rav Hirsch, who says that although Hashem is so awesome, he's our personal God. And that really is the fundamental idea at the end of Adon Olam. Going through all that Hashem is the Melech, and Hashem reigns, and he always was, and is, and will be, and he's powerful, and all these superlatives, and all these tremendous descriptions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the end of Adon Olam, before we begin our davening, there's only one thing we need to remember, and that is, Hashem's my God. Hashem has a personal interest in me. Hashem cares about me, and I'm going to get ready to daven, because I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares and is interested in what I have to say and my personal feelings. That is a pretty fair overview of Adon Olam. It gives us the general idea of what we're saying, why we're saying it, and what its goal is in the Siddur itself.